recently, it just has to do with that. And we were like, amen, right? You know, when you hear that and things in your devotional life are now being applied in discussions, it's great. And so hopefully you're enjoying the book of Acts. We talked about the fact that Acts is the sequel to the Gospel of Luke. I'm going to fly through these because I don't want to spend too much time to review. We know that Luke and Acts is a single story, right? The Gospel of Luke records what Jesus began to do. Let's say that together. What Jesus began to do. And then the Acts records what Jesus, what? Continues to do, right? But you say, but Jesus ascended. But Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father. Why would you say that it records what Jesus continues to do? How does it show what Jesus continues to do?
Church.
Okay, through the church. Through his church. And through specifically his Spirit, the Spirit of God himself, to accomplish and to finish that work. Okay? Great. Now, we started talking about who wrote the book. Okay, we did that. We know Luke. We talked about last week the witness, right? And then we went through a little bit of a quasi-Bible study as we got more into the Word and kind of read verses to tear that up a bit, right? And so we talked about the witness. I want to come back to that and then move on to the second part if we have time. It seems like we started a little bit late and my little diatribe this morning took us a little time. What I wanted to do, though, is what do you guys remember about Luke? Tell me something about Luke that you remember.
Physician.
Yes. What else?
Multiple sources.
Luke is multiple sources?
I mean,
the Gospel of Luke, I'm talking about the person himself.
Oh.
Yes? Okay? All right. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you real quickly five cool things about Luke that maybe you knew, maybe you didn't. First of all, Luke was very, very, very likely a Gentile. There's nothing that absolutely proves that, but most scholars believe that Luke was a Gentile. If you remember when we did a gospel comparison, you guys remember that? I brought that up, and maybe you forgot, but maybe you're hearing it for the first time. Luke was very likely a Gentile. His name, his Greek name is Lukas, and he writes with a very distinct Greek style. In fact, a lot of his phrases, a lot of his writing styles, for those who study linguistics and are able to identify that, it's very clear that Luke's writing is permeated. It's almost like a very Greek writing style. A lot of his expressions are not typical to a lot of the more Hebrew writers. Okay, so it's very Greek in his writing. And so what's interesting is that Luke then, as a Gentile, was the only Gentile to write a book of the Bible. Cool fact, huh? Right? So, when you think about what he wrote, it's very obvious that different from, okay, let's refresh the gospel comparisons, right? You guys are really good, right? Pay attention. Remember this. What is a very Jewish, who was another very Jewish Hebrew, who was a very Jewish gospel writer? Remember, there's one of the Gospels. His name is actually this. It's a pair of jeans. Okay, Levi, who is? Matthew, okay. So Levi, Matthew, his Gospel was very geared for Jewish believers. People with a distinct Jewish background, remember that? So it's very heavily stylistically Hebrew, but brings up a lot of the Old Testament references and all that stuff. Now, Luke, on the other hand, is like the other side of the coin. He's not writing, it's very clear, he's not writing for a Jewish audience. He's writing to reach a Gentile audience. You guys with me? Okay, so that's kind of cool. And that's us, right? We're the G's, we're the Gentiles, right? And so We only know the Jewish stuff because we study it. But otherwise, people not as familiar with the Jewish traditions and the Torah and all that, Luke kind of writes with that in mind. Okay, you guys with me? Yeah? Okay. All right, so cool thing. Luke was a Gentile. Second, Luke was a physician, as Amos said, right? Though we can't be certain about every aspect of his background, we know he was referred by Paul as the beloved physician, the beloved doctor, right? And he probably, very likely, had a comfortable practice in what he did in his city in Antioch, right? But he chose to sacrifice that for the purpose of serving the Lord, okay? Now I want you guys to think about a question this morning. What are the different comforts that we have today that may make it difficult to sacrifice our lives of comfort to follow the Lord? Do you know what I'm talking about? You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Sometimes there are comforts in our life. I stated this in my message yesterday at the funeral, that everyone has a shepherd that leads them, that guides the decisions that they make. Sometimes what guides the decisions that you make are things like idols, right? Idols, the same thing. It's a shepherd of your life. What guides you? What causes you to make the decisions that you do? And I said yesterday that for some, their shepherd is financial security. And for some, their shepherd is personal comfort. Because that's what guides your decisions, your personal comfort. So my question today is, what are the different comforts that we have today that may make it difficult to sacrifice, where we see Dr. Luke sacrifice that comfort of having a good medical practice to come out to serve the Lord? Not that everyone needs to go out vocationally to serve the Lord as he did. But you see that he's willing to sacrifice comforts, personal comforts, in order to be a part of the work of the kingdom. So get in your groups together and discuss this a bit. Do you understand my question? Yeah? Okay. So go ahead, get together, max a group of three, please. Don't be larger than a group of three, otherwise you'll have a person who's not talking. Two or three, there you go. Okay, what are some of the comforts? Let's go around. We'll start from this side. All right, what's like a personal comfort today that makes it hard for us to sacrifice to live and follow the Lord?
Time. Auntie Kim said time.
Personal comfort of time. Like your own
time, like at the end of the day.
Okay, yes. So my comfort is my time. like time to myself. Okay, good. Next.
Courage is almost the same too.
Okay.
Time? Time is one of the, it's what we feel comfortable, what we feel is our, what makes us happy from ourself. It's just looking on ourselves, not anything else.
Okay, so what are you guys actually talking about? What do you mean, like time? How does that comfort?
Like if you have set a schedule and church is not one of them,
okay,
that will be one of the things that will be very painful is that if you, this is the stuff that I want to do during
Okay. Yeah, it's like, tonight, I know we have fellowship, but I also want to do something myself. Right? So, I have this thing that I'd prefer to do. It's more comfortable for me. I'm going to just stay home or do my own thing. Right? Okay, good. Next.
Easy access to the internet.
Easy access to the internet. Okay, so easy access. Does that mean you have to have a minimum speed on your Wi-Fi?
It's like, you know, even if you give up your router, you still have a phone.
Okay, yes. Yeah, just the fact that you have a phone everywhere. Right? It's almost disturbing to me how often you're like talking with people, right? My wife and I have kind of an agreement of this. Like when we're talking, don't be checking your phone. Don't do that. It's one of just the rudest, hey, so for you young people, let me just give you like a life lesson right here. Pastor Alex life lesson. Don't look at your phone when you're talking to people. It is the absolutely rudest thing. I know all your friends do it. Don't do it. Just don't look at your phone. Unless you say, oh, excuse me real quick, I just need to check the time because I don't wear watches, right? That's okay because I know you guys don't wear watches. But it's like, okay, except y'all here, okay? Good, okay? But, you know, if you need to check your time, say, oh, excuse me real quick. Let me take a quick look. Oh, I was expecting a text. Just excuse me real quick. Okay, and then put it back down, right? Or unless you ask, oh, is it okay if I, you know, blah, blah, blah. Okay, just a little side tip for you, a little etiquette lesson here. All right, how about in the back?
Worldly possessions.
Worldly possessions is your personal comfort. Like what?
Houses, cars.
Okay.
Jobs.
Yes, I'm living for that, and I'm not gonna give up my worldly possession to follow God. Okay, good. Next.
Good academics.
Good academics. Absolutely. That's right. It's going to, pursuing my academics is going to prevent me from following God more, right? Okay, good. Next. No?
Physical comfort.
Physical comfort, like what?
Like doing things, like
doing things. Yes. Is that why you got here late? Good to see you this morning, by the way. Kev? We had pancakes this morning. I'm like, it's weird. Kevin's not here. Like, making pancakes with us. All right. Good. What else over here?
Like, kind of taking the easy way out or, like, an easy lifestyle.
Easy? I don't understand that. Explain.
In terms of, like...
Getting Yeezys?
Easy.
Okay.
In terms of, like...
You guys know what Yeezys, right?
Yeah.
Yeezys are, like, $1,000 shoes or something. You said Yeezy?
Easy.
The Yeezy lifestyle?
Easy, E-A-Z.
Okay.
I mean, E-A-S-Y.
All right.
Well, it's like in terms of sometimes it's like to follow the Lord in terms of like you're doing, like you want to do your devotions, right? But it's like so much easier to just go on your phone or to just do
right.
All these things.
Okay. So my comfort is I just want to take it easy. I want to take it easy. But I want to take my life easy. It takes too much work to actually spend time with God. Right? Maybe, is that what you mean?
Yeah.
It's harder to do that. And so I'm going to take it easy. What do you think makes it possible for Luke to do that and not us? Right? I mean, if I actually took you through the scripture, which we're going to see in a moment, why does it make it possible for Luke to be so devoted to the cause of Christ and we are not? Is it that Luke is at he's a super Christian? You know, do you guys ever get that feeling? I hear that sometimes in the church. Oh, well, but that is another level Christian. I'm not like that. Do you guys feel that way? Is Luke just kind of one of those super Christians? In Chinese, I love to say this. 超基督徒, you know? Is Luke just, oh no, 我不行像他, 因为他是一个超基督徒. Right, is it like that? Do we feel that way? Why is it possible for Luke and not us? Right? Why is it possible for Luke and not us? What do you guys think? Do you need to talk amongst yourselves?
I think it's a successful practice because he said, well, I have this knowledge of God so I can help people.
Okay.
If I didn't have God, I wouldn't be as successful as a presenter, be able to help people.
Okay. And so because of that, because he knew that God was in his practice, that he was willing to leave? Okay. So do you all know that God is in your life? Yes or no? Tell me yes or no. Let me hear it.
Yes?
Yes. Okay. So then what makes you different from Luke?
He's given up his life completely for God.
He's given his life up completely, so we have not? None of us have given our lives up completely for God? Is that what you mean, right?
Yeah.
Why do you think, guys? Do you want to talk about it in your groups? Like, what makes it possible for some and not others? Is it that they're just more disciplined? Maybe because he's a doctor? Because, you know, only doctors can, like, you know, because they're probably smart and they're more disciplined, and so they can, like, make decisions like that. But I'm just an engineer. I'm not disciplined. I'm not that smart. Just kidding. Engineers are. But is it because he's somehow a different cut, and so he can make decisions like that to sacrifice personal comfort? Why is that? Talk about it in your group real quick, okay? Just for 1 minute. We haven't even gotten to our study yet. You guys need to talk about it.
I think it's just because my personal comfort,
Okay, why do you guys think? Someone give me, just let's stretch into some answers. Let's flex our muscles real quick, okay? Like our mind muscles, our spiritual muscles. Why do you think that? Okay, I mean, you guys were all talkative for a minute ago. And now it's like, why do you guys think? It's okay if you're wrong, or you just, let's just think together, class. Why do you think Luke can do that, and why not us?
He received the calling.
He received the calling. Did we all not receive a calling? In Ephesians, I don't know. In Ephesians, it tells us, live a life worthy of the calling that y'all have received. It is a you all word. It's not only to Paul. I mean, Paul was writing to the church saying, live a life worthy of the calling that you've received, because you've been called to be a child of God. Okay, so calling, nice thought. What else?
He has more trust and faith in God.
He has a greater trust of faith. Is it just because God gave him that? Is it he's just more of a, he's just made that way? Because, you know, some people are just made to be more super Christians and others are not.
I think he simply obeyed.
He obeyed. It takes obedience. So it's just the willingness to obey. I heard, I think over there in the back corner, someone say, "What?" And it stimulated, it triggered a thought to me. What if I invited, excuse me, hey, Luke, yes, Lucas, Dr. Lucas, would you please come up here and share with us real quickly as we talk? So if Dr. Lucas came up and shared with us, what do you think he would say? Just do it, Nike. What do you think he would say?
depending on how humble he is, right?
Yeah.
How humble he is.
So let's say he's very humble.
His faith, right? His faith, yeah. He believes in what he's.
His faith, his trust. That's what Preston said. He's willing to trust in God more. He's willing to take his faith and really keep it moving, keep it growing. Right? Are these things what is happening to us then? Are we willing to keep our spiritual growth? Are we willing to keep obeying? Are we willing to keep trusting him more and more and more each day? Or have we somehow kind of, like, why are we here and Luke is somewhere else, right? Why have we allowed our personal comforts, perhaps, to hold us back, right? Just something to think about, right? And that's what we should do. And whenever we're interacting with the Word of God, whenever we encounter the Word of God, we should allow these thoughts to just challenge us a little bit, right? Think about ourselves. In fact, I'm going down this particular path because we have a text today in 1 Thessalonians 5 that I'm preaching on. And it just kind of touches on this kind of idea a little bit too. So that's a little trailer. Not that that was intentional. Third, Luke was humble. Scott, Luke was humble. Luke, interestingly, he never addresses himself as the author of his books. He never addresses himself by name as one of Paul's travel companions, though later on in the book of Acts, he says we, right? The Aquilan is off.
Yeah.
He never mentions his, it's, you hate to be in here, right? I'm like, when you're not in here, I don't know what to do. I'm just like, I feel it, can't tell anybody. But now that you're here, I'm like, hey, come on, stop, right? Terrible. Tell me to stop that if you need to, okay? He never mentions his profession as a doctor. Only Paul mentions him as the what? Paul calls him as what? The beloved physician. The beloved doc. And he never mentions his brother Titus. He does not mention the sacrifice he made in giving up his medical practice to travel with Paul and care for Paul. Instead, he gives much focus on Jesus' healing miracles and Jesus as the great healer. Remember, that was a theme that we saw in Luke. The healing nature, the healing aspect of Christ's ministry. Right? You guys remember that? A lot of healing in Luke. And did you all do devotions recently? Just this last week. Who was healed at the temple? Okay, you guys didn't do devotions. Okay, that's okay. Huh? Yes. Right? And that was Peter. And Peter said what? For silver and gold have I none. But what I do have is Jesus. Right? That was cool. The most important thing he wanted his readers to understand is salvation in Christ. Okay, so first, Luke was what?
Humble.
No. First, Luke was
a Gentile.
Second, Luke was a doctor. Third, Luke was humble. Fourth, Luke actually met some of the apostles. Now, I think that's kind of a big deal. By the time Luke was writing his gospel, the Holy Spirit had already inspired other two writers, Matthew and Mark. Remember, we talked about that. And there's another source that we call Q, right? It is reasonable to think that Luke would have interviewed them and investigated their writings. Luke would have likely traveled with Mark, since Mark also traveled with Paul. You see how this is going on? And so Luke would be exposed to all these different sources, including the apostles themselves. Right? It's pretty cool. So then you have the fact that he is a very detailed person. Okay, Nancy did a personality profile for a workshop at our church. Luke would be a very high what?
C.
He would be a very compliant person, very detailed, very successful, very conscientious about the details. Okay, which is a beaver, right? Yeah. Nancy called that the beaver. Yes, that's right. Beaver and C. Sorry. Okay, so Nancy made up the names, the animals. But it's actually based off of the disc, right? D-I-S-C, right? And we realized that our church doesn't have many like I's or D's, right? But that's my world. Like, I'm a high influencer, high, you know. But Luke is a high C. He's very analytical. Just like when Milton recently took my, I said, hey, we're designing a VBS banner. Check it out. I can't get the lines super, super crisp, crispy clean. He goes, oh, I'll take care of that, Pastor Alex. He does it. He retypes my whole thing, okay? And then he sends it back. I'm like, looks crispy clean. It's great. Beautiful, brother. I'm like, I check it. I'm like, great, looks good. He checked it. We sent out printers. We paid $70 for it. Church paid $70 for it, okay? And then we receive it back. Bex takes one look. Oh, my gosh. You guys mistyped the church website. It says CCF IV. I'm like, what? No, oh, my goodness. I'm like, I did that. And I went back to check. I'm like, did I do that? I checked it. I looked. I'm like, no. Dude, mine says CCFCIV. Milton must have changed it. Milton, did you change it? Dude, I changed it. Yeah, I retyped it. He missed it. I missed it. We're not C's, bro. Oh, we need C's. Only a C will pick it up at first glance. Like, boom. That's why Bex always used to check all my important papers that I wrote for school. I could read it 100 times. I won't see. I will read right through. I'm like, hey, my paper looks good. She's like, reads it once. Bing, 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 bing. All these grammatical errors. I'm like, whoa. But you know, Luke's a very high C. And you know the beauty of that? Combine a very detailed person who has met eyewitnesses accounts, okay? So you have the apostles who had the eyewitnesses accounts of Jesus' life. And now you have a high C who can be like, dude, I'm going to get that down accurate. Thank God Milton and I did not have to write a gospel, right? Okay? Because mine would definitely be at a 30,000 foot level, okay? It just would not, you know. I think that's pretty cool that he met. Number five, Luke was the only one to remain with Paul to his death. He was devoted to Paul, his mentor. You know, it's kind of cool, right? And I was thinking about this, and we might sometimes feel uncomfortable about that, that this guy was devoted to Paul. You know, can't you say he's devoted to God? Yes, he was devoted to God. Devoted to God. And in his devotion to God, he was devoted to his mentor. Oh, that was really precious. You see that in 2 Timothy 4, Paul tells us Luke alone remains with him. You'll see that. And the background is the emperor of Rome at that time, Nero, was really just making things hard for Christians. And it was making it so hard that Christians, a lot of the people that were around Paul, his team, started to leave him. And in 2 Timothy, Paul actually says, Luke is the only one who stayed with me. And John MacArthur wrote this, but not Luke, loyal, faithful, brave, long-term friend, fellow worker, companion to Paul. Been with Paul over years and years and years. Been with Paul over hundreds and possibly thousands of miles walking. So I say, next to Paul, John MacArthur saying, Luke is the most powerful writing force in the New Testament, and yet he is basically unknown. Right? We all remember Paul. Nobody really says, man, Luke is just one of the greatest contributors of the New Testament. Right? Isn't that true? This is John MacArthur. I don't think in my life I've ever heard a sermon about Luke. His historical narrative spans over 60 years, starts with the birth of John the Baptist, 400 Jesus, and it ends in the book of Acts, which is volume 2 of his writings. It ends with the gospel being preached at Rome, which means the gospel has extended to the world, because that's what's happening in Acts. He shows that picture, right? Jesus says, from here to the ends of the earth, and you see it moving, which means the gospel has extended the world. No other writer wrote so comprehensive a history of Jesus and his impact. No other writer goes all the way from John the Baptist to the gospel having reached the capital of the Roman Empire. He is the most complete storyteller of the saga of salvation in the New Testament, and he is mostly unknown to us. I love John MacArthur's writings. He is so great with words. Isn't that cool? Doesn't that make you just appreciate Luke? That's why the fact that Luke was not only wired in a way to be a high C, a high beaver, a high compliance, attention to detail person, but God used that, and him as a Gentile, nonetheless, the only Gentile writer of all the Bible, And then to have him be so humble, to never mention himself, and then to have eyewitness accounts interacting with the apostles, and now because of all of that, God strung all those together to give us the most complete storyteller of the saga of salvation. Whew! Isn't that cool? That's why it should be exciting for you to read Acts. Acts moves. It is a great book to do your devotions in. Okay? You guys with me? All right, so Luke is what? Luke is? Gentile. Luke is a physician. Luke is humble. Luke had? Met some apostles. And fifth, Luke? What? He was one of the most devoted. Okay, one of the most devoted followers to Paul. Let me ask you guys a question. What part of Luke's life did you find most particularly helpful? And I'm so sorry today, for those of you who want to go through the text, I actually have it prepared. It just the time that we spent in this thing, it just didn't get there today. So I apologize, right? I have like 5 slides next to like actually break through the text. So we'll have to probably skip that and go. But I wanted to end with what part of Luke's life did you find particularly helpful today? And how does he inspire you, right? Luke was an evangelist, a historian, a physician, a pastor, a missionary, a companion, a brother, and a theologian. I think there's probably more, I couldn't think of more. Luke knew he wasn't the first to write about Jesus. He knew it, right? He had sources from Mark and Matthew and this other source, Q. But he wanted to write a gospel that shared the truth that had already been written, but for a wider audience. You see, it's cool. He didn't have to, sometimes like I tell my kids, you gotta be original. Dude, you don't have to be original. Sometimes you could borrow stuff and just reach different people with it, right? And that's what he did. And with the gifts God gave him, he investigated every written oral source that he could with the help and inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So what part of Luke's life today that we just went through, these 5 things, what one thing did you find particularly helpful for you? All right, talk about that in your group. Okay. And why? And why? You got to share why. Why was that helpful for you? Okay.
I'm going to
that time,
kind of sits back and he watches.
Like, you know that
Okay, anybody willing to share a little bit of, like, you know, ask, you, I like to go around, like, anything that really just struck out for you guys?
If I was like
a successful doctor,
yeah, I probably would have mentioned like my name at least. Like,
yeah, at least your name.
But like, it just really inspired me to be more like him.
Like, that's good. Thank you. Anybody else here?
We talked about also about how he was really humble, and that a lot of times when it's easy to give up something when you know we didn't expect something out of it, or like praise from other people. Right. So it's really inspiring to see Luke, how he gave up his life and didn't credit himself for it.
Yeah.
Right. Didn't brag about it.
Right. So I was saying, look at all that I gave up. Right. That's good. Good, yeah. Anything else? About down the line?
For me, number two, who was a physician.
Mm-hmm. It's inspiring, huh?
Yeah, that's part of it. That's just like, that's his bloody occupation, but you know, as I said, his entire life, just seeing how he can manage both things and his humbleness as well and being so detail-oriented. It's just a lot of the aspects of his life,
right.
I think, are things that like, I aspire to be.
Yeah, good. Yeah, and let me make clear, right? You know, if you guys were at my Theology of Work workshop, you heard it, but you know, I've said it on other occasions too. I'm sure that there are many other physicians out there who love the Lord who wasn't let out to do that and would never be mentioned anywhere either, but had a profound impact for Christ as a physician. Isn't that correct? Can we glorify God in our work? And the answer to that should be a resounding what?
Yes.
Yes. It's not only pastors and missionaries and like gospel writers that make huge impacts for Christ, but I'm glad that we can be inspired to look at their life. They are not a cut above. They're not a super Christian. It's what we talked about earlier. There's a willingness to just keep growing, to keep feeding, right? And so I'm going to stop there for a moment, because what I wanted to remind you again is, if you forgot, the journey that we're supposed to be on as a class, wow, there's all these like things that pop out of my backpack. It's like Felix's bag of tricks. Okay, is we're supposed to be reading this together. And I know that it's hard for some of you. I know that it's still not a routine to be in the Word of God. I think it's okay if you miss a few days or here, but if your life is just marked of never being in God's Word, I'm gonna just caution you that may be a reason why you are stuck a little bit in your faith, right? I prepared a kind of a study, a more in-depth study, an anti view. You know, it takes me time, and I did that, but we won't go through it today. And I'm just wondering, because if I'm trying to match our reading, right? So I kind of took it from where we would be in devotions. But if most of you are not doing this, I don't have to have the pressure to track exactly what we're doing, because we will have to jump around that way. But what I wanted to get to is, even when we talk about the author of this, who wrote this book? Who wrote the book? Luke. No. Incorrect. Luke and the Holy Spirit.
look at this. This is a cool thing from one of my professors at school. He was my preaching professor. He said, the Bible is deceptive because it looks like a regular book. It looks like a regular book. It can easily be mistaken for one, but it isn't. The Bible stands apart from all other books, not just because of its Amazon rankings. It is the number one best-selling book of all time. It is true. But that's not the reason, because it's not an ordinary book. It is a supernatural book. The Bible is unique because of its authorship. Do you believe this? God himself, do you believe that God himself wrote this? Ask yourself that this morning. Human writers also sat down and penned the individual books of Scripture, but they did not sit alone. As they wrote, God wrote in and through them. It was a joint process that we call inspiration. Think about this. Over 66 books, writing in a span of 1,500 years, 1,500 years a span, and with one story, over 40 authors. How does it come to become one? You could see the narrative unfolding. How does that happen if God himself did not write this? And my verse for you is in 2 Peter 1. It says, first of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture, that's the proclamation of Scripture, is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by the impulse of man, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. If you knew that this is words spoken from God himself, would that affect your perspective to be in it more often? Or does it still do nothing for you? If it does nothing for you, I urge you again, rethink your faith. You are maybe very much deeper than you think. Deeper in stuckness. If this doesn't even move you to say, I need to read the inspired words of God, God himself speaking through this book. If Luke was the only author, I could see why we don't always spend the time. But if we know that is Luke and God, Luke and the Holy Spirit, God himself writing this, there's something going on. There's something much deeper in the water of what's happening in this book for us, right? And so I just want to leave you with that today, right? As we think about Luke, we think about his humility, we think about the model. Man, this guy was led by the Spirit. He allowed the Spirit of God to keep leading him. And that's my final word, because that's going to link us right. You guys are special. It's going to link us right into our sermon, okay? All right. Would someone like to pray for us?